From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Did you ever see Old School? It's this movie where three 30-something guys try to recapture their youth by starting a fraternity. And there's this scene, let me just explain it, or maybe you saw it and don't remember because you were drunk or whatever anyway. The classic scene where Will Ferrell, he's one of the old guys, and he's completely drunk and naked, and he gets up in front of this crowd of college kids and is like,
"We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody! Come on, Snoop!"
Oh, and I promise, this is going to loop around to a business lesson. I can't, bet you can't wait to see how I'm going to do this. Okay, so Will Ferrell takes off through the crowd and down the street.
We're streaking!
And eventually he runs into his wife and her friends who are driving down the street, and they're all like, "What are you doing?" And he says, "We're streaking!" And she's like,
"Who's streaking?
There's more coming."
All right, funny scene, and minus the, you know, getting tanked and naked part of it, this is actually a feeling, an awful feeling that many entrepreneurs feel. Neil Vogel certainly did.
I'm Neil Vogel, the CEO of Dotdash.
Dotdash is not a name you may recognize, but you'll almost certainly recognize the name that came before it. This company used to be About.com, one of the first mega sites on the internet. Neil came in to turn the thing around, to figure out how to revive a huge brand that nobody had any love for anymore. And he had a plan, and he was executing that plan.
And you know when in Old School, he goes like running down the street naked, because he goes back and he's like, "Yeah, we're going streaking," and he expects everyone to follow him. That's basically what I was doing when I got there. I was like yelling and running, being like, "We're going to do it this way." And I turned around like nobody was there. I'm like, "Oh, shit. Like, we need to do this."
There it is. Told you there was a business lesson in that opening. Today on Problem Solvers, what do you do when you're streaking naked and nobody is following you? Kidding. Today on Problem Solvers, what happens when you walk into a troubled situation, have a plan, feel really confident about that plan, and yet you just can't seem to get the team behind you? And Neil figured this out. You know, I had no idea how successful About.com's turnaround was. We'll run the numbers at the end of the show, but trust me, Neil got people to follow him. But it took some time. And here's the twist. First, he had to change which road he was running down. What do I mean? We'll get into it all right after the break.
Dell knows that running a small business takes hard work. So as a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, they are offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th generation Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details. And now, our second sponsor. You can chart my life in some way by the domain names that I bought. In high school, I was obsessed with that movie Clerks and bought happyscrappy.com, and bonus points for anyone who gets the reference. And then off we go on big milestones. My own name when I graduated, some silly projects I did in my 20s, my wedding, my wife's name, our son's name. The thing is, domain names matter. They're like real estate for your passions, and Hover gets that. I love Hover's concept. They're focused exclusively on helping you buy the right domain name. No upsells, clean user interface, excellent customer service, personalized email, free Whois privacy. And Hover understands that in our modern digital era, you may change website builders or hosting platforms many times, so their Connect feature allows you to make the switch with just a few clicks. Check it out. Go to hover.com/problem solver to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hover.com/problem solver.
All right, we're back. So first of all, if you're not familiar with About.com, here's a quick primer. The site was launched in 1997 in a very different internet era. I mean, there wasn't much web publishing back then, so websites tended to function like categories, I guess. You know, you want shoes but don't know any shoes websites? Go to shoes.com, that kind of stuff. And so About.com was the site that explained everything. It was a general interest information site, and it quickly became the trusted authority on, like, everything. We're talking over 100 million users a month.
People search for something, saw About.com. They're like, "Oh, awesome, I now know the fruits I can eat with that if I have diabetes. Or, oh, awesome, I now know how to hang a picture. Or, great, I now know how to make my router faster. Did all kinds of things.
Eventually, the New York Times bought it. But as the way people consumed content on the internet changed, About.com didn't change. Traffic started tumbling. So in 2012, the Times sells the thing to IAC, which is Barry Diller's company that owns a ton of internet giants. Expedia, Match.com, LendingTree, big names. Diller saw untapped potential in About.com and needed someone with a vision to see it through. And someone thinks to call Neil, who's an old hand at internet brands. Among his claims to fame, he was the founder and CEO of Recognition Media, which creates and produces award shows like the Webby Awards and the Telly Awards.
I got a call from a guy who's now the CEO of IAC, who basically, this is my favorite story I tell it all the time, who basically says, what do you think of About.com? My answer was like, I don't. Like, who thinks of, nobody thinks of About.com. I do not think of About.com. It's like, well, great, come in. I want to talk to you about it. It's this really interesting asset. We bought it, but it's a mess, and I need someone to run it. And it ended up being like a little bit of a Dick Cheney situation. I showed up. I thought they wanted me to think of who else I could do it, and then instead it was me. And I went from being very uninterested to actually very interested very quickly. Part of it was if IAC saw something in this, and these smart guys, and Joey and Barry Diller saw something in this, that was worth taking a look at. But two, the thing that appealed to me was this was such a beaten up asset. Like, you can't fall off the floor. This wasn't getting any worse. I didn't make it this bad. I thought, I'm pretty optimistic. It was all upside if we could fix it from here.
By early 2013, Neil is now the CEO of About.com. His wife and friends think he's crazy, but Neil sees it as an opportunity and an adventure. And like he said, if the really smart people at IAC saw something in this, shouldn't he be able to too? But then he actually showed up to work.
So we got in there and we realized it was a big, big, big mess. We had a huge culture problem, meaning the place was defeated. Everybody was defeated. And in a time when Google's growing and Facebook's growing and Pinterest and Instagram, these guys are shrinking and doing nothing.
All right, problem number one right there. And this is part of the streaking problem, right? Neil comes in and he's like, everybody, About.com is going to be awesome again. And everyone's like, we've heard this before. Neil was looking on the bright side. He could fix a defeated team. His philosophy is you can't just change habits of people, but when you change leadership and you do it right, the organization takes on the personality of the people in charge. I mean, it's that or the old people leave and new people come in to fit the new culture. So Neil brings in a new executive team, new CTO, new CFO, people Neil knew and knew he could trust. And the team turned over pretty heavily. He estimates that 80% of today's employees are new from when he started. That is a big reboot in culture. And this new team was directed to execute Neil's big idea, the one he was running down the street screaming, which goes like this.
The whole reason I took the job is the core kernel of what we did, people liked. Like, our content was great. We had all these topic-specific experts, whether it was about like how to fix your computer or how to live with a chronic disease or what color should paint my kid's room, that are experts on that topic, and they wrote great content. The problem was we made it impossible for anybody to get this content from us. Our site was ugly. It had too many ads.
So he's thinking, this is a cleanup job. He made the site look nicer, stopped junking it up with too many ads, made the content really stand out so people could find it through Google, and then hopefully click around and find other things they wanted to know. But, you know, it just wasn't working. Traffic kept slipping. His cleanup job clearly wasn't the solution he thought it was, which I'd say is the other moment of running down the street and discovering nobody's following you. His audience, the people he expected to follow his big new vision for About.com, they were not running down the street with him. They were just standing back and shrugging. So that got Neil and his team thinking, what was missing? And they realized the entire internet had changed and he had fallen into the curse of About.com. He was still thinking about the internet in an old way.
But if you look at how people behave on the internet, if your mother has diabetes and she's coming over to your house and you need to figure out what fruits your mother can eat if she has diabetes, did you want that answer from About.com or did you want that answer from WebMD? And if you wanted to find a better way to paint, what's the right kid to color to paint your kid's bedroom, did you want that from HGTV or from About.com? You want it from HGTV. Like, you want a recipe for beer battered chicken. Did you want that from Epicurious or from About.com? In all of those examples, our content was best, but nobody wanted it from us because our branding was really wrong. So like, oh, the light came on. We heard the same thing from advertisers. Like, there was a very famous meeting we had with like very large tech company, like whatever, rhymes with Schmicrosoft. They told us, this is 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they were like, we love you guys. Your data's great. You seem to do nice work. We're never buying another ad from you again because your brand means nothing. We're like, oh, that's relevant. That's a good thing to know. And algorithms like Facebook and Google didn't know what we were to send us traffic anymore. So like, why would they send us traffic on like how to do your 401k when we cover like 1,000 million other things, like, you know, the like knife skills for cooking? Like, it doesn't work.
So Neil and his team think what we need are totally new brands. Brands people can trust. Brands people can understand. If you want health information, about.com literally means nothing. So you need to go to a health website. And from a site that, you know, to put out a really fine point on it, looks like a health website, sounds like a health website. This is the idea that he takes back to IAC, his parent company. He basically says, okay, about.com needs to become a Condé Nast, a Hearst, a publishing company with lots of titles underneath it. As Neil says, they needed to take one brand that means nothing and turn it into a bunch of brands that mean something.
We were like, guys, it's going to take a year. It's going to cost a bunch of money and 25% chance we're totally wrong and it goes to zero. But if it works, we're going to have a thing here.
IAC says go for it. And so Neil and his team start figuring out how to break About.com's content into totally new brands. And it starts by looking at what topics the site has historically covered and what information people want on the internet. As it happens, About.com hit a bunch of important categories.
Health, personal finance, technology, home and food, and travel, right? Really valuable areas. We think we have an angle in each of those spaces. So we're going to take About.com. We're going to pull off the content in these five verticals. We're going to build sites from scratch, from the pixel. Every line of code is going to be brand new. And we're going to launch these five brands into the world. Everything that's left over, we're going to throw in the garbage.
They started out looking at 1.25 million pieces of content that About.com has published. And how the hell do they sort through that huge mess? That's where a good team comes in. Neil has a team of 80 engineers, including 6 people with PhDs and 5 others with advanced math degrees. So they created systems to smartly separate the good stuff from the bad. And then, and I can't even imagine what kind of insane torture this was, they had human beings read everything the algorithms marked as potentially quality content, and humans decided whether the piece of content lived or died. And at the end of all that, they had 270,000 pieces of content left. About 70% of About.com's historical content went into the garbage. Now, that remaining content gets separated into new brands. They created The Balance, a personal finance site, LifeWire about personal technology, The Spruce for home and food, Verywell for health and fitness, TripSavvy, the travel brand, and ThoughtCo for general education and reference. And the brand on top of it would no longer be About.com. It would be renamed Dotdash, which, if you, like me, used to be a ham radio geek and knew Morse code fluently, true fact, you'd know that dot dash in Morse code is the letter A, a reference to about.com. Can we get an A in Morse code here? There we go. So the next question is, how do you make these sites something that people actually want to visit? Because Neil is trading one problem for another here, right? I mean, he used to have about.com, which was a brand people knew, but didn't care for. And now he has brands nobody knows. And the answer came from something Barry Diller told him when Neil first pitched the idea of breaking About.com up into new brands.
The one thing he said, which is like the best advice ever, was, but there is no place for mediocrity on the internet. There is no place to be mediocre. You need to be the best at this, and your brands have to be the best. And we're like, we don't know how to define best. He's like, I don't care. You have to be the best. Be the best. So we're like, okay, great. And then we took that back with us. And we said, all right, well, how can we be the best, like, empirically? So we looked at some things that are very particular for publishers, like guys in our business that put content on the internet that people need to read, that people need to buy ads against. One, we are going to be the fastest sites on the internet and on mobile, which is really important. It's not something you hear a lot about, but people immensely prefer fast sites. And there's
literally load speed.
The fastest sites on the internet. So we're now currently the fastest in every one of our verticals. Two, we're going to have the least ads of anybody on the internet in our verticals. And that's expensive. Having less ads means you make less money in theory, although we charge more for ads than we used to, because there's too many ads on these publishing sites and no one likes using them. And it's why people are using ad blockers. It's why people are doing different things. So fastest sites, least ads, And then we looked at our content and said, well, that's our advantage. How do we make our content always the best? We're going to have the youngest library of content on the internet in every vertical we have, and the most comprehensive.
Those first two didn't surprise me. Yeah, people want their websites to load fast, and yeah, people hate a blizzard of ads. But wait. The youngest content? Neil said, yes, when someone goes to a publisher's site and finds some piece from 2008 reviewing like a new BlackBerry phone or something, they think, well, this is garbage. They look down upon it. Because while publishers may be just archiving everything, readers are looking for new. They're looking for something that they can use now. So how does Neil create content that's literally the youngest on the internet? How is that even possible?
Every piece of content on our network of sites is on a schedule and a calendar. It gets updated at a minimum of once a year. And what updated means is whoever wrote it or somebody who's qualified in that topic goes back and makes sure it doesn't need updating. It could be as simple as in a recipe adding a few new ingredients because the trends of what people want change, to a full wholesale update because that treatment changed.
This is not cheap. Neil says he spent $10 or $11 million on content last year, but the result is this. When they started the project, the average age of the surviving content from About.com was 3.5 years. Now it's 270 days. And okay, now it's time to talk about the unfair advantage that Neil had. About.com used to be a darling of search engines. Someone would search something and they'd get About.com. And those results started to drop off as About.com's cachet dropped and people stopped visiting it as much and it was ugly and loaded slowly and all that stuff. You've noted the problems. But the relationship was still strong. And here's the thing about Google. You can tell it, hey, the article that used to live here on this domain is now over here on that domain. You can essentially take the traffic and just shift it over to a new brand.
So we knew that if we could launch these brands off the About.com platform, move these articles, clean them up, make them better, put them on a better domain, we had a puncher's chance. We had a fair chance of keeping that power with Google and with other algorithms like Facebook or like Pinterest. If we moved it over and did it correctly, we could probably keep the baseline and we could grow from there. That's exactly what we did.
Almost immediately after Dotdash launched its new brands, Google's algorithms picked up on the change and recognized that the new pages were higher quality. Readers did too. In January of 2018, Dotdash's sites reached a total of 77 million U.S. unique visitors. And to give you a sense of momentum, take their site VeryWell, which is their health and wellness brand. It was launched in April of 2016 and since then has grown 34% to now pulling in 16 million uniques a month as of January of 2018. It is the seventh largest site in the ad-supported health information category online. Now, did Neil have an unfair advantage here in all this pre-existing Google traffic? Yeah, of course. But I would argue that the point of the story is exactly that. He came into About.com thinking one thing about its core value, but he realized that the core value was actually something else entirely. It wasn't just the content. It was the trust, the authority. About.com's sense of authority had diminished, and so he needed to recreate it and to recreate the team around it.
I would never, ever, ever start a media company from scratch right now. It'd be impossible. It's like, but you couldn't recreate the hundreds of thousands of articles we had and this sort of like 20 years worth of search power. We just had to figure out what our asset was and free it up. And this new structure that we built is what you need to do to be a publisher or, you know, provide content on the internet now.
So now, after many years of trial and error, Neil has a new problem on his hands. About.com is no more. Dotdash is on the rise. And now what?
We have this transition in our business now where it's working. Like, we don't have a crisis on the horizon. So how do we like pivot our company to from basically being a fix-it startup to like, all right, now we have to build $100, $200, $300 million brands that compete with the household names.
To do that, Neil is going to have to go charging through the street saying, come on, everybody, let's do this. And this time, I suspect his team will be right behind him. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N-F as in Frank, FrankER.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, JasonPfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.